This is Mucho Radio. My name is Murat Nahimana. I'm a Mucho Radio young journalist, impact show host. Our guest today is Dr. Mayanne E. Francis. She served as a lieutenant governor for the province of Nova Scotia from 2006 to 2012. She became the first person of Afro descendants to hold that position. Dr. Mayanne E. Francis' accomplishments while lieutenant governor include welcoming Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II to Nova Scotia and Government House in 2010. She supported the arts. She celebrated young people, and she opened the Government House for guest lectures. As lieutenant governor, she attended more than 3,000 activities and engagements. She was raised in Whitney Pierce, Nova Scotia, and was educated in both Canada and the U.S. She was also the CEO of the Nova Scotia Human Rights Commission and held other responsibilities. Among other things, she's an author of The Mayanne Trains Ride by Mayanne Francis. She's also a major public speaker, a longtime friend of Nova Scotia Community College. And to add to this already astounding list of accomplishments, Dr. Mayanne Francis is the recipient of honorary degrees from the universities Mount St. Vincent, St. Mary's, Dalhousie, the Atlantic School of Theology, Acadia University, York University in Ontario, and an honorary diploma from the Nova Scotia Community College, also known as NSCC. So today, the Honorable Dr. Mayanne E. Francis lives in Halifax and is joining us on Mucho Radio to share her story her way. So welcome on the radio.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here for you.
Thank you. And to start this interview, can you tell us more about your childhood and upbringing?
Well, as you said earlier, I was born in Cape Breton, and at Sydney, Cape Breton, and Whitney Pier. And I always talk about being born in Whitney Pier, Cape Breton. And the reason I say that is because Whitney Pier had a very positive impact on my life. And I'm sure it has a positive impact on many people who grew up in Whitney Pier. And my daddy, Reverend Father George A. Francis, he was the clergy of all of St. Philip's African Orthodox Church there. He was originally from Cuba, and my mummy, she was originally from Antigua. It was a great place growing up because there were people from all over the world who were there. So there were people from different parts of the place, different colors. And that just gave you that this is the way life is. And that's why I say it was just such a positive place to be growing up in. And God is in my life, was in my life when I was a child, as my daddy was the clergy, and my mommy was very religious as well. And everybody I could remember, we all were close to God, regardless of whether you were African Orthodox or whether you were Catholic. It was all there in the different religious people. And I attended class there, school, everything, and it was always positive. And what I loved about the place is that everybody helped everybody. That's why that was so good of it. And it's something that I will always remember, even as a senior woman now and retired. It had a positive impact on my life of growing up in Whitney Pier. And it was really, when I give speeches sometimes, I emphasize that and list high-level people. I don't give their names, but you find doctors who graduated from there, lawyers who graduated from there, nurses who graduated from Whitney Pier, all of that, and it's just wonderful. So this is why I'm very proud to say that I was born and raised in Whitney Pier.
Now, Honorable Dr. Mayanne E. Francis, you mentioned the importance of working together. You have had the opportunity to befriend Viola Desmond. And what has been the impact of your life on Viola Desmond's fight for justice?
Viola Desmond's life has impacted me. when she was discriminated against, I certainly was born, you know, born shortly after that. And who would ever think that her and I would connect? I would be freeing her from the racist behavior that she experienced and made her seem like she had committed a crime. That I would be the one that would be granting her the Royal Proctor of Mercy, free pardon, the first thing that was ever granted in Canada. And so this is something that has impacted me greatly. And I remember when I was advised and researched by the government, when I was lieutenant governor, telling me about this, and this is why they want to free her, because she did not commit a crime. She was discriminated against because she sat in an area in a theater that was an area only for white people. And she sat there because it was closer to the screen, and that's what she needed to see properly, close to the screen. But then she was willing to pay, and they wouldn't accept her money, dragged out, thrown into jail, injured herself. It was just very, very sad to hear about that, because she was on her way to Cape Breton, and her car had a problem when she was on her way here, and that's what happened to her, that she was arrested and pulled, was in Glasgow, that the car had a problem. But in any event, giving her the Royal Proctor of Mercy was very moving for me, even though she was deceased. It was just something to say, look at this history, not only because I freed her, but because she was an extremely intelligent and nice woman, based on what you read about her, based on what you would see that she did in the past. She was always a kind, intelligent person and extremely brilliant. So and the fact that she's now on our $10 bill, you think about that. So anyway, I'm very happy that I granted her freedom from, or I should say removed her from the fact that they had her listed all her life, and even when she died, that she committed a crime, and she did not. But I was so glad to free that, and now she has people look at, read about her, study her, which is important, and that's really grateful. And her beloved sister Wanda, she died too, but she was the one that was always pushing and pushing for that, and I made sure that they are in the same graveyard and so forth, and which is really important.
You mentioned two important words, studying and education. I have a quote here from Mandela who says, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. And I was wondering, what is your advice to young people of Afro-descendants to learn and pursue their dreams?
That's a very interesting question, because what I do now, I mean, I've looked back at my life. I mean, I've written two children's books and my own memoir. And I have to say that, you know, when I think now about everything, I think of how important it is to have an education. Now, I want to be clear about that. When I talk to young people, I always ask them, are you going to university? And some of them will look at me and say, no, I don't want to go to university. And I'll say, okay, let's talk. I want to know what you're going to do for our country, for your community, for our world. Tell me what you're going to do if you are not going to university. And they would look at me and I said, let's talk. You can still get education. You can still be educated. And if you're doing good things, that's going to be positive and is legal, you'd be surprised how great you can be. And if you read and study, you'd be surprised how good you can be for our province, for your community, for our country, for the world. And so my advice for young people, if you're not going to university, then you must be doing positive things that we would still all need you to do. And there's many ways that you can do this. It's by reading, by staying honest, by studying other people and doing your work in intelligence. And if you decide at an older age, I think I'm going to go and do some university work, that's fine too. But for me, it's staying positive and helping our place, our world, yourself, to always be positive. That's what I talk to young people about.
Thank you for the powerful words. And you briefly mentioned your book. What can you tell our listeners about Mayan's Train Ride book?
That was my first book, and I have to say, my daddy and mummy, every two summers, they would take us to New York, okay? Because daddy's sisters and brother, that's where they were. They left from Cuba to New York as they got older, because daddy's dad died in Cuba. And so then his mother and the family, they decided, well, let's move over to New York. And so they went on, not everybody moved the same day, but separate. But in any event, daddy taking us to New York every two summers, he wanted to make sure that we met our aunts and our, you know, everybody that we needed to meet who are related to us, and especially his brother, who I was very, very close to, and God love him. And anyhow, my book talks about our journey, even on the train, because you see, the train ride was so positive, and all the people who worked on the train were very good to us. And we had a high, daddy and mommy, I always took a high level of the train for us to be seated on. My sister and I, we were always dressed very well. And we had our purses and everything else. And once we got to New York, my dear, precious daddy's brother was there for us, my uncle, who I adored. And he would drive us over to Brooklyn. That's where daddy and daddy's people, mommy and daddy, mommy's, I should say, daddy's family were living. So we would go over there and we'd meet them. We're all excited and happy and staying there. And then traveling on the subway one time, I lost my purse, fell in there. And by the time we got off the plane, I got off the subway, couldn't get back in and get it. But in any event, that truly disturbed me, because it was my favorite purse I have, the first one. It was my gift. But in any event, going to the church there, African Orthodox Church it was, and it was the first church, was there because the man who was studying in that area found discrimination, and then he left and then became an Anglican, not Anglican, but the African Orthodox Church, even at the time it was like something like Episcopalian studying. But in any event, there at the church when daddy was preaching, and the people knew that I lost my purse, and heaven forbid, it was just so wonderful. They decided to give gifts to Isabel and I, and of course, one of the gifts they gave me was a purse. And, you know, then it was great how we went around to in New York and learning about different areas. And so mommy and daddy were just very good in terms of New York. And I have to say that if mommy hadn't held on to me, I would have ran into the subway to get my purse, and the door would have closed on me, and we wouldn't be talking now, because that would have been the end of my life. But growing up, being there every second summer in Brooklyn, loved it, and that's where I even lived when I grew up and studied there as well. So anyway, that's my thought about just part of what I'm talking about with Mayan's Train Ride. Hope people like the book when they read it for children, because it's interesting. And even the lady who was the person who did all the pictures and everything was perfect, so you need to see it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love the anecdote about your mommy holding on to you so you don't get into the accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I had pulled off, I mean, I was just young, but I was saying, oh, my purse is in there. And I was starting, mommy just grabbed me, because she knew that if my arm or something got caught on the door while the train was moving, there's no way I would, she would have been able to save me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was the reason why I didn't get into the train, and I'm happy.
Well, expanding on the topic of important women, October is Women Month in Canada, and you have a high level and became a role model for women and girls throughout Nova Scotia and the country. Mm-hmm. What is your message for young girls who to never give up and to aspire to be, to have someone in a position like you, for example?
Well, my message for young girls, for senior girls, stay strong and be proud of who you are, but not against other people. See what I'm saying? You just be proud that you're a young girl. Be proud that you're a young woman. Be proud that you're a senior woman. And always be respectful for all people, regardless of people's color, regardless of their background or whatever. Just have that respect. And I was very fortunate to be that way in my life. And I'm proud of who I am. I'm proud of all the women I know. I'm proud of many, many of their husbands, their brothers. It's just me being proud of meeting people because of my love of God. And I just feel that it's God that's leading me to do everything. And that's who I talk to. That's who I thank for his I guess I should say, strong impact on me. And so I tell young people, some people say, well, I don't believe in religion or anything like that. I say, okay, let's continue talking. And I still want you to be strong for our country. In our province, and I said, you may not have a love of religion, but I really do feel God is in your life. You may not know it, but he's there. And maybe someday you'll wake up and realize he is there, and you start to believe and love God and Jesus Christ. And I just want you to stay honest and to respect everyone and look at your own communities, look at the province, look around, because I think life is important, and to go positive is important, not negative. And there's so many things that you can do that is helpful, with not only just with human beings, but I think even with animals. I love my cats, okay? So I can go on and talk about my precious cats. I'll just stop that for now. But I think animals, are very good too, and it's so much that there's lots to think about. And I always say, be educated. You understand what I'm saying? As you grow, look around, learn, educate yourself, and move forward to keep our place positive.
Well, the key word to this interview will be, the message will be educated. And to end our interview, I want to ask, why do you think building an African descent or Black people radio in Canada to tell our stories our way and learn from one another is so important?
I think it's a good idea. And the reason I say that, because there's so many things that we can show of our life and our belief that is still positive, that is positive with the world. You understand what I'm saying? With the world, with Canada, with your community, and there's things that you can be doing that would encourage people to be positive and to do good things. And so having a radio that's going to show the positive activity of people who are color, people who are Black, that is positive, because it just shows what human beings can all be like. And you're encouraging love, encouraging doing high-level work, encouraging to do even lower work if you're not that high-level and intelligent, but you can still do good things. That's how I talk to people. So I think having the radio program to talk about that, and even every now and then you might even have somebody come in as a guest who's not Black. What's wrong with that? That is showing that we're all getting along. You understand what I'm saying? And it's also giving maybe ideas that you might want, or giving them ideas that could happen that's positive. So I think it's a good idea. It's a challenge, but it can work.
Wonderful. Thank you, Honorable Dr. Maine Francis, for being with us on Mucho Radio. We appreciate your time, and we will make sure to spread the message to be educated, as you so well put it, to the people listening.
Well, thank you for asking me to do this, and I hope it will work for you all.
Thank you very much.
You take care, and God bless you.